Welcome to PS Pod. I'm Elena Webster, Deputy Managing Editor for the ASCPT family of journals. I'm joined today by two PSP Associate Editors and two former editors in training, Deputy Editor-in-Chief Dr. Carolyn Roland Yeo, Senior Vice President at Certera, Associate Editor Dr. Priya Jayachandran, Quantitative Pharmacologist at Regeneron, former editor in training, Dr. Jane Knochel, associate researcher at Potsdam University, and Dr. Brian Sicali, tenure track research assistant professor at the University of Florida, and also former editor in training of PSP. And I know several of you are joining us from the ACOP meeting in Phoenix, Arizona today, so I greatly appreciate you finding the time to speak with me. I'm excited to talk to you all, but first, how is ACOP going?
Brilliant. Priya and I had our session yesterday on pregnancy and lactation, which went brilliantly. And also, it's nice to be here with the other AEs and to catch up.
Ditto. And it's been really fun so far.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm so glad you guys all get to get together. I had a little bit of FOMO, fear of missing out when the email started coming through asking when you all were going to get together. And I thought, I wish I was in Arizona getting together. But anyway,
we did miss you.
Well, yeah. Thank you. That makes me feel much better. really I'm glad you all get to spend time together, and I'm sure it's going to be a great meeting. And I'm not at all surprised to hear that your session went brilliantly, because why would it not? So,
thanks, Elena.
Exactly. All right. So this month, PSP is publishing a themed issue focusing on pregnancy and lactation. And Priya, I believe you and Karen championed this theme during our annual strategy meeting about 2 years ago, actually. What makes this topic timely?
Yeah, so that's absolutely true, Elena. This was championed by Karen and myself. And recently, there have been some regulatory initiatives from the FDA, specifically the Diversity Action Plan, as well as the International Council of Harmonization's E21 efficacy guidelines for inclusion of pregnant and breastfeeding individuals in clinical trials. And these have placed a spotlight on the historical underrepresentation of pregnant and lactating women in clinical trials and the need for that to change, essentially. And pharmacometrics and systems pharmacology plays a really key role in making clinical studies more inclusive and generating clinical data to inform the drug label. So we hope that by putting together a call for papers on the theme of pregnancy and lactation, we would be able to solicit the latest case examples and perspectives utilizing pharmacometrics and systems pharmacology as they relate to this topic. And that's exactly what we've seen. The themed issue has perspectives on regulatory drivers for drug research in pregnant and lactating women, as well as examples of how to use non-clinical safety data to inform drug exposure and lactation, and recent quantitative applications in pharmacometrics and physiologically based pharmacokinetic modeling to optimize drug therapy for pregnant and lactating women.
Thanks, Priya. So all of you have different research specialties, and you're also coming to this issue not only from different career stages, but different backgrounds and geographical locations, although not currently. Most of you are in the same place. But what paper stands out to you? And I'll just go around and ask you each the question. Brian, how about you?
Yeah, so I think all of the papers have really stood out for their own uniqueness and contributing to the overall message. The papers that really stuck out to me that I'll be covering is really focusing on our evolving understanding of mammary gland transporters and how drugs are actually getting uptaken into mammary glands and essentially breast milk, and how that can lead to different changes in exposure for both the women, but also the infant who's breastfeeding, and also how that changes over time. We're learning more and more how we have different receptors being upregulated and downregulated, but also transporters in those glands. And Gong et al. Has done a really good job of doing a full summary of really what we're seeing nowadays in terms of transporter expression and which drugs are being impacted by the changes in transporter expression throughout the lactation period. And of course, Scyther et al. Has also done a interesting deep dive into BCRP transporter specifically, and really showing a really good highlight on what we don't know and what we currently know, and how these drugs are not just transporting and changing throughout a woman's body, but also how that's going to impact the overall exposure on a breastfeeding infant.
That's very interesting. Thank you. Karen, how about you? What stood out to you?
I think, obviously, I mean, the paper that Brian described was quite scientific, and but I think that, it's also important to get regulatory perspective as well, because as Priya mentioned, with ADAPT guidance from the FDA, we've talked a lot about that, but also important to recognize, the EMA as well and their perspective in this position. So some of the things that they focus on, they're talking about recent guidances that have come out and initiatives that they've been implementing. It's something that's very much on their radar. As Priya mentioned, the E21, what's good about that is it's got a lot of modeling mentioned in there. And, and that's something that the EMA emphasized about the use of MIDD, to complement, clinical data and the fact that maybe we can advance or fast track dosing for labeling initiatives. And, and specifically, and of course, I love PBPK, so of course I'm going to mention this, but one of the things that they said in that publication was that, everyone's talking about PBPK is likely to be the modeling tool that's going to push things forward. But importantly, they do acknowledge the, the limitations and state the knowledge gaps. But, what I'm particularly pleased about is some of the knowledge gaps that they're talking about are exactly, what you were talking about, in terms of the transporters. And so it's nice that we're actually talking or have some publications on the knowledge gaps that they actually state in the themed issue.
Excellent. Thank you. Jane, what about you?
First of all, I really enjoyed the perspective highlighted by Karen as well. For me, it is clear that industry, academia, and regulatory agencies are all aligned in our vision for the future, with MIDD taking center stage to lead improvement in clinical development for pregnant and lactating women. Additionally, I want to highlight the excellent work done by Chen et al. They employed a model-based meta-analysis to establish a dose-response relationship for combined oral contraceptives, which was previously missing. They were using efficacy endpoints, of course, and breakthrough bleeding as the pharmacodynamical endpoints. Breakthrough bleeding is the most common side effect of hormonal contraception, impacting adherence to combined oral contraceptives. This paper stands out to me as it employs a methodology currently underused in this space, showcasing its potential for impactful decision guidance for women.
Thanks, Jane. And Priya, what's a paper or a few papers that stood out to you?
Yeah, so this issue contains some examples of analyses that use classical clinical trial designs for PK studies that have been used in settings where prevention of disease transmission from mother to child is a high priority. These papers present the progress that's been made to improve clinical development strategies and practices in pregnant and lactating women in low and middle income countries using pharmacometrics and systems pharmacology. And these approaches can really be used globally, providing an opportunity for the global exchange of clinical development strategies for pregnant and lactating women and their infants. So for these reasons, that whole cohort of papers has really stood out to me. In particular, Ding et al. Have characterized the PK of amidiaquine and piperaquine, which are artemisinin-based carbamination therapies that are used for first-line treatment of malaria in pregnant women across their second and third trimester of pregnancy. And their analysis compared exposures between pregnant and non-pregnant women to determine whether or not a dose adjustment is necessary for women in their second and third trimester of pregnancy. And this population PK analysis is using one of the largest conducted studies in women in their second and third trimester of pregnancy with P. falciparum infection. But what's important to me about this particular study is that the selection of control or comparator group and the discussion around how that's chosen. So ideally, the best comparator is a pre-pregnant participant, but not all studies can allow for that to happen. And so selection of the non-pregnant women matters. And in this particular study, they decided to do a comparison between pregnant and non-pregnant women based on simulations from previously published large population PK meta models. And so this approach really provides an excellent example of how we can leverage all of the available data using modeling and simulations to fill in the research gaps. In this case, it's specifically for the selection of the control or comparator group. So for this reason, I really wanted to highlight that particular paper.
That's very interesting. Thank you. So there's a tutorial on physiologically based pharmacokinetic approaches in lactation research in this issue. And in recent years, PSP has particularly been focusing on providing the clinical pharmacology and translational science field with tutorials. Karen, tell me about this one.
Yes, I think the tutorials are really important because, especially if you're starting out modeling in new areas, you can learn a lot from them. And one of the main reasons why we wanted to put a tutorial together on this is that there's a lot of interest in this area, actually trying to model the lactation side of things. Now, typically, clinical lactation studies aren't conducted. I think more studies are going to be conducted now. But, it's important, to be able to predict the exposure of a drug in breast milk, while a mother's taking a dose. And so what we've actually included in this tutorial is predictive algorithms that describe how, much or the milk to plasma ratio of the actual drug. And so based on physicochemical properties. And, and so we explain, how small changes can affect the amount of drug that goes into breast milk. I think the second part of the tutorial as well is if you have, clinical data, what we can do is actually use PBPK modeling to support that. So typically, what we would do is, take clinical data. So if a clinical study is being conducted, what they do is measure the amount of drug in the breast milk and extrapolate that to a potential exposure in the relative exposure in the breastfeeding infants. But what we can do with PBPK modeling is we can actually, integrate these predictive algorithms within a PBPK framework, and we can actually simulate the potential exposures in the infant that is getting a drug via the breast milk. And that's really important because what it's doing is taking it one step further from the clinical study where we're having to estimate the drug. And what we're actually doing here is getting a much better prediction. But also, we've got to understand that while that child is breastfeeding, their physiology is changing, and that's something that we can actually accommodate. So there's huge interest in this area, and we've actually tried to capture all of that, including case studies.
Thank you. And you all co-wrote the editorial for this issue, and there are also several perspective pieces included. Tell me about the role opinion pieces, if you will, play in scientific publication, and what were you trying to convey with the editorial?
Thanks, Elena, for the great question. This topic is actually quite broad, so I'd like to focus on two key aspects that I particularly appreciate about opinion pieces and why I consider them so important. First and foremost, opinion pieces stimulate discussion within the scientific community and also just when you write them together. This can lead to new ideas, collaboration, and further research. I can just highlight, we wrote a perspective for this special issue, and we've been saying that we definitely want to do a mini review or a view room now as a follow-up to our paper. Additionally, I also value opinion pieces for the educational benefit. And this is something Kara will also get to when she will talk about the tutorial later on. They provide a valuable means for students or early career researchers to delve into a topic and understand the current key aspects being discussed in the field. In fact, we could do a whole podcast on the importance and impact of opinion pieces in scientific publishing. Just a thought. Regarding the editorial, it highlights the significant progress and ongoing efforts to include or better understand exposure, safety, and efficacy in pregnant and lactating women. Furthermore, the editorial emphasizes that in order to maximize the use, or that we want to maximize the use of MIDD in drug development for pregnant individuals. Certain techniques, such as, for example, more mechanistic models or novel quantitative methods, I'm just, thinking AI here, could potentially further advancements. It also underscores the importance of more inclusive trials through early engagement between regulators and sponsors.
Brian, you and Jane were editors in training for PSP while participating in the conception and planning of this issue. What was that like? What did you learn that you didn't know prior to joining the PSP editorial team in this training role?
Yeah, so great question. I mean, it's beyond just the special issue, but I mean, really being able to see what's behind the curtain, and then actively participating has been a, an immense, like, enjoyable, but also very knowledge-filled experience that I really don't think is very available to many young scientists and new early career folks. So it was really a fantastic experience that I would recommend to anyone who's interested in getting more into the editorial, and reviewing Yeah, so scientific exploration and dissemination. Not only that, the ability to really start interacting with the ex other associate editors, and then importantly, being able to be a part of the special issue and see how not only do we recruit papers to get a scientific, centerfold in a particular topic, but then how we also evaluate those. And being able to put all that together, and then, as we just spoke about putting the editorial together, you really get to see a full circle from start to finish. And eternally grateful for that experience. And again, would certainly recommend it for other people interested in that type of educational and career learning.
Thanks, Brian. And I will say we are all eternally grateful for your service as an editor in training, as we were with Priya's when she was an editor in training. So, I say this a lot, but it really is one of my absolute favorite programs at ASCPT. We appreciate your time. So glad you got to work on this issue. I know you all need to get back to your meeting. And Jane, I'm sure you have other things that you'd rather be doing than chatting with me. So I want to thank you all for your time. I know we're all very, very excited about this issue, and we hope readers will enjoy reading it as much as we did putting it together. Karen, does PSP have any other theme issues on the horizon?
Absolutely. We're always on the move. So the next themed issue is going to be pediatric rare diseases. And in fact, I'm going to bat this your way. What is, have we actually released any
Yes.
information about it?
Yes, there's actually a call for papers that's already gone out on pediatric rare diseases. And so you can check that out on the PSP website. And we're looking forward to some really exciting contributions. This is an
No
area,
pressure.
this is a field that's exploding when it comes to application of model-informed drug development and different types of modeling strategies. So we're very excited to see what the community can bring forward for the special issue.
I agree. It is going to be a very exciting issue, and we do look forward to receiving your excellent submissions. So, again, I want to thank you all for coming on the podcast today. It's been so great having you, and I really hope you all enjoy Arizona and you enjoy ACOP and safe travels back home. And thank you for listening to PS Pod. You can find a link to the full issue in the description of this episode. While you're here, be sure to check out past episodes and remember to visit ascpt.org for updated podcast releases, our latest webinars, and the most recent issue of all three journals.